Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD. Support comes from the Kenosha Area Business Alliance Foundation, presenting Inspire, a leadership development and networking event designed for students and professionals at various stages in their careers. October 13th at Journey Church, inspirekenosha.com, promo code WGTD 2023.
I'm Gregory Berg, and on Monday's morning show, we are rebroadcasting one of my all-time favorite morning show interviews. It's with Ronald C. White, author of Lincoln's Greatest Speech, the second inaugural. Ronald C. White is going to be the keynote speaker Thursday evening to kick off Carthage College's Lincoln Symposium, a two-day event free and open to the public that's going to be drawing Lincoln scholars from all across the country. More information is available at carthage.edu. And Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
This is WGTD HD serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise, and Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring, and I'm very happy today to welcome Nicole Riff, who is the new executive director of the Kenosha Area Business Alliance. Welcome.
Thank you, Jane. Glad to be here.
What I thought we could do is get a little bit more acquainted with you. I know we've been hearing little bits and pieces of your background as they announced your arrival to CABA, but then talk a bit about CABA and maybe how things have changed there. I know you don't have the history, but I do know that just in general, economic development has had to change along with the economy and the job, not joblessness, it's more the opposite in trying to find staff. So just to begin with, you've been at CABA now, is it a couple of months?
It's been about 2 months and it's gone by very fast.
I can well imagine. And you're from economic development and you're from southeastern Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'm so thrilled to be here today. Thank you for the invitation. And I'm so thrilled to be part of CABA and part of the Kenosha County community. This is a destination job for me. I've been doing economic development now for about 16 years and really knew I wanted to be an economic developer since I was in college, which is unusual for people in this field. A lot of times they come to it, you know, from a banking background or maybe a real estate background because there's so many different industries that touch economic development. But in undergrad, when I went to the University of Wisconsin, you know, I was exposed a little bit to some of these principles, and I knew that I was very interested in helping communities to get better and to grow and to attract new businesses. I also grew up in a small business owning family in the Milwaukee area, so I saw how hard my parents worked in order to, you know, provide for us as a family and to provide for their employees and provide a good work environment. So I was able to marry those ideas by being an economic developer, which has been great.
I'm going to stop you there because I'm kind of curious. You know, a lot of people who are listening might be looking at further education. What degrees would be appropriate for your type of position?
That's a great question. So I think you can come at economic development from a lot of different directions. For me, I went to UW and had majors in history and international studies. So I had to go on to grad school because there wasn't a lot to do directly with those degrees. But I will say, you know, it really helped me understand the world better and kind of see what I wanted to get involved in. So I ended up going to the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and getting my master's degree in urban planning. And there are a lot of us in the area who I really went through school with who are now in leadership roles, which has been really exciting to see. One of my colleagues is running the Regional Planning Commission now. Mm-hmm. Another one's running a business improvement district in the Milwaukee area. So it's kind of neat to see how we've all worked our way through our careers here and now are in leadership roles.
For sure. And then you have those connections because I'm sure you have a lot of common issues and questions and you can bounce things off of them even how many years later.
Exactly. It's great to have that network.
And you have family in the area, correct?
That's correct. My parents and sister are all in the southeastern Wisconsin area, and then my husband is actually from the Appleton area.
Oh.
So his family is up in northern Wisconsin now. So it's been great being back home and seeing everybody more, and a lot of our friends are still in this area as well. So it's been great.
And where did you work right before this?
We were out in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and I had been running the Waukesha County Center for Growth, which is basically the counterpart to what we do down here at CABA. So it's the Economic Development Group for Waukesha County. And I had been there about a year, and we had moved back to Wisconsin, actually, for me to take that job, which was really exciting. Had been wanting to get back home, and then obviously that's a great organization. And I would have stayed there a long time, but when I got the call from the CABA recruiter, I knew this was my dream job and that this was going to be where we were going to be putting down some roots. So I was really excited about that.
Well, that's thrilling. And you have this related experience, you have the education, and then you walk in the door of a fairly well-established organization, and I'm sure one that has, they've had goals. And I'm just kind of curious, as you walk in, what sort of surprises might you have been faced with either the organization itself or the communities?
It's a great question. So I would say I've been pleasantly surprised across the board. So I had very high expectations, both for the organization and for the community. My husband and I spent some time down here as I was going through the interview process saying, you know, is this where we want to be long term? And we knew we did. And everything has exceeded our expectations from that standpoint. So we bought a house in Pleasant Prairie, and we're so thrilled to be there. Found an amazing home, which is quite a feat, I would say, with the housing shortages, which
no
I think
kidding.
We'll talk about more later.
Yes.
You know, so that's been great. And people have just been so welcoming. It doesn't matter where you go, you know, they're going out of their way to welcome you to the community, invite you to events, ask you if you want to meet for dinner, ask if you want to meet for coffee. And I will say that's unique to Wisconsin. You know, I didn't see that as much in other parts of the country that I've lived in, and great people everywhere. But here, there's something to be said for that Wisconsin warmth and that Midwest friendliness. So there's been that, and everything has just been easy here. You know, people are really accommodating and, you know, getting services and things like that's been great. On the job front, which I think, you know, is a particular interest here today, you know, it's been such a great team that I've been allowed to become part of here at CABA. You know, I came into this job and the top two people in the organization had left, had been gone for about 6 months, and the four individuals that are still at the organization were running everything for a six-month period and doing it well. So they made the determination, you know, when those two leaders were leaving, they said, hey, we don't need outside help. We're going to keep this going. We're committed to the cause. They all stayed and they all, you know, really went above and beyond to make sure the organization moved forward. And so I feel very grateful to be part of that team. And really, they've just kind of embraced me and really helped me to get up to speed very quickly. So that's been great. We have a fantastic board that's also been very welcoming and very gracious with their time. I've gone out and visited Carthage College. Dr. Swallow invited me out and I got to go on a tour with one of the students out there, which I loved. Really need to get those insights. And a lot of our other board members have just been gracious and invited me out to their businesses. So it's been a wild ride so far.
Lots busy.
To do, lots of people to meet, but really just fantastic. I'm really enjoying it.
You had mentioned about the four remaining staff people, and I know that the person who did economic development under the executive director is that other position that had left. Are you filling that position? I know they were going to wait until you came on board and you could make the decision as to where you wanted to go with that.
That's a great question. So we talked about that a lot during my interview process, and then I've been talking about it a lot with the staff and our stakeholders since I started. So, you know, it's always good to have some self-reflection and being able to kind of gauge a situation as you get more information. So coming into the job, my thought was we'll get a strategic planning process going. CABA's not had a new strategic plan since 2009. Obviously, the world's changed a lot since then, and we'll probably talk about that a little bit more later. But my thought was, you know what, let's do a strategic plan and see where that all shakes out. And maybe we'll have some new direction that our organization should be going, in addition to always doing that economic development work. That's always going to be a core function of what we do. But maybe it's going to turn out that we really need to get more into housing or some of these other issues and maybe would want to make a hire to that effect. So that's where I was maybe about 10 weeks ago. So after being on the job now for about 2 months and just seeing the level of project activity, we're going to need to hire somebody sooner than later that has that economic development expertise. And hopefully it's someone we can hire that has experience in housing and in real estate development so they can help us solve some of these other challenges that we'll be faced with as an organization and a community. So we should be posting that, I would guess, in the next month or two. We also do have a current position open. We are looking for a program coordinator to help with Life Balance Kenosha County. County, which is our talent attraction efforts, some of our event planning, and to serve as one of our main points of contact with our investors. So if you know anybody out there, and I'm putting this out to the community, somebody who's passionate about Kenosha County, has good attention to detail, really wants to learn more and grow with our organization, please do send us them our way.
Sounds like an excellent job, too.
Definitely.
And it's wonderful coming into, I think, an organization. You have a new director. You have a new direction, perhaps, with the strategic planning. And what a fun opportunity to be 30 years younger, right?
It is very exciting. And it changes every day, right?
Oh, for sure.
You get to learn something new every day and then get to pivot and shift what we're doing and adapt to that. It's fantastic.
Well, and that's what I think I would like to talk about a little bit. First, I need an elevator speech about Kenosha Area Business Alliance. I think people have in their head CABA, Economic Development. But what does that really translate into?
That's a great question. So, you know, we are a traditional economic development organization from the standpoint that we are here to help our existing businesses grow, help them solve challenges that they might be facing, and then also attracting new businesses. So Kenosha County and CABA have done a great job of that over the last decade. We've seen unprecedented growth. Anybody who's driving up and down I-94, I mean, you see the warehouses and the manufacturing facilities. You see the Haribo water tower that's going up. And that's all a testament to the support that CABA and the county as a whole really gives to economic development and business growth here. That being said, you know, while we will always focus on that, that's always going to be the core function of our organization, we are a lot more than that. We serve as the employers association for the county. So we are here to provide programming and professional development for our business community. We have a program that's launching in October. We've been working with Living as a Leader, which is a leadership training organization out of the Milwaukee area. We've been doing that for over a decade, and we're launching our fall series of that, where we're really helping businesses to cultivate new leadership within their organizations. We do still have a couple spots open for that, so definitely want to put a pitch out for that. Anybody who's looking at growing leaders in their organization, great program that we have. We also do a lot around thought leadership. So we do business programming, and we really try to make sure that it's a really good use of business leaders and executives' time. You know, I mentioned earlier I grew up in that small business owning family. If you're taking time away from your business, it better be for something really good that is really going to help change the game of what you're working on, something that's very relevant. So that's always front of mind for me, and I love that that's how CABA approaches programs. So we'll have a program coming up in November that I'm really excited about on generative AI, artificial intelligence. Mm. So, you know, we all kind of think of that right now as ChatGPT, and what does that mean? What does that mean for my business? And I think that our business community is going to be really interested to find out that there are applications for every function of every business in every industry. And so we want to start opening our business owner and business leaders' eyes to, you know, here are some ways to be more efficient in my business by using AI. And then you can upskill your talent so they can be doing something that maybe is more complex or more meaningful. We're also dealing with labor shortages, so it kind of helps to fill some of those gaps. So I'm really excited for that program that's coming up here soon.
That sounds really interesting because, well, just what you were getting at, and I don't want to interrupt the flow of all the neat things that are coming up in the next few months. Mm-hmm. But if you listen to any business channel, even if you're not listening and it's just background noise, which it kind of is for me sometimes, all you hear is AI this and investing in AI that. And it just seems so out there. Mm-hmm. But what you're saying is there really are very practical applications mm-hmm. that even a small business could employ?
That's exactly right. So something that I found very interesting just in talking with businesses, both here and in, you know, other markets that I've been in, is that you typically think about AI and you think about this as being this kind of tech industry phenomenon. And it is, but they're kind of the ones that are inventing the AI. But AI is very relevant to any business, any industry. So what I've been hearing a lot about is HR, marketing, administrative type of functions that can be automated using AI. So you can run these generative AI processes behind the scenes. Let's say that every day you're sitting at your computer and you're maybe doing accounts payable, or you're writing newsletters for, you know, your constituencies or your stakeholders, whoever it might be. And AI is able to see what might be something something that you're duplicating multiple times a day and then see if it can maybe create a process and then do that for you. It's amazing. Mm. Same with marketing and communications. It's incredible the applications with AI for, you know, let's say that you have to send a newsletter out every week to people, you know, you're the HR person, you want them to know about things that are going on. You can use AI to generate a lot of that text, and then you can use your time to do things to, you know, research or build out additional content maybe that the AI might not be able to do. So it really helps to upskill people. It's very interesting.
Yeah, that's, and you said that's coming up in October also.
In November.
Oh, November.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we'll be launching that probably in the next week or two for that registration. So stay tuned on that.
Very cool. So you mentioned that Kaba is typical, yet there's so much more to it than just going out and looking for businesses to move here. Mm-hmm. We talked about some of these things that support existing businesses. And I interrupted you because I wanted to learn more about that. But what are some of the other things that kind of round out what Kaba is?
Mm-hmm. Great question. So talent is another big piece of what we do. And I would say that there are a lot of economic development organizations that focus on that, because I will say in going out and doing business retention and expansion visits, understanding what the needs are, number one, 99.9% of the time is going to be talent related. So I need help with training. I need help finding certain types of employees. So we're here to help our existing business community with that, and then also businesses that we're attracting to the area. So we have a number of different programs that we can do that are very tailored to the needs of an individual business. We do a lot with higher education. So we're sitting here at Gateway Technical College. They're a very close partner of ours. So as we have employers that maybe have specific needs, we'll help them partner with Gateway Technical College on really customized training. We do the same thing, you know, with Carthage College. They may have certain programs, or UW Parkside. All of our different educational partners here are very involved in our employer initiatives. We also are able to do hiring blitzes, which I think is something very interesting, and I think such a fun word for us
yes.
to talk about as a service.
It is.
But as we have a new employer to the market, you know, they might not even have space right away. They might be building out a facility, but they want to start hiring people. So we can host hiring events. We can help with doing outreach. We work with the Workforce Development Board to make sure they're getting good candidates. So that's something that we can really help out with a lot as well. But yeah, very tailored solutions, I would say, and in large part thanks to our partnerships with education. KUSD and our K-12 partners we also work with. We want to make sure that they know what employers are saying they need so that pipeline can be developed at a young age.
And I do want to come back to the whole issue of workforce, but what else does Kaba do? You started to talk about partnerships with education, mm-hmm. and I know you have something to do with some of the high schools right mm-hmm. now. Can you kind of tell me overall what you're doing with them?
Absolutely. So we do work closely with the high schools to make sure, again, that they're preparing students for what the needs of employers will be. And I think that, you know, for instance, the new superintendent of the Kenosha Unified School District, he's very hyper aware of that. And he really wants to make sure that his students are ready for work or college or whatever it might be, you know, after high school, and very commendable. So a very close partner of ours. So we really want to make sure that we're in the schools, that we're helping expose students to what, you know, future career opportunities might be. We do schools to skills programs where we will take certain groups of high school students out to, for instance, like a manufacturer, and they can see what happens out there and maybe see if that's something that might be appealing to them. It's been interesting for me, you know, being in economic development now for a while. I've had the very good fortune to visit a lot of different manufacturers, and it's not what you think of, you know, from your grandfather's manufacturing. Mm-hmm. These are not like dirty, noisy, you know, crazy plants. I mean, these are very highly automated, very sophisticated, very clean operations here. And I think that students, without seeing that, they don't really realize the opportunity around that. So we really want to make sure that they're aware of that. And we have a lot of these partnerships with KUSD and other schools in order to make sure that that happens.
And that's interesting, because I have to say, I hadn't realized Kaba did that kind of leadership in pulling people over to the various manufacturers. Mm-hmm. And so that sounds pretty cool.
Definitely.
Anything else you want to mention about what Kaba is involved in?
Sure. So we do have a couple other initiatives that I'd like to touch upon. So one, you know, we economic developments traditionally are about jobs and capital investment, right? And we will always be about that. But something I think is very unique to Kaba, and something that I think is a direction we're moving, is more in the community development area. So mm-hmm. we've gotten involved in a lot of catalytic projects that are not just about jobs and capital investment, but about community improvement and advancement. advancing, you know, the situation here for the people living in the community. So we are very involved with Lakeview Technology Academy, which actually was just ranked the number 2 high school in Wisconsin by U.S. News and World Report. So we're really proud of that. But that school, we actually own the building that that's mm-hmm. located in, and we are about to break ground on a new campus for them. And yes. that will be in the Kenosha Innovation Neighborhood. So that'll be one of kind of the cornerstone projects there. Very excited about that. We'll have the opportunity to serve even more students across the school district and really give them access to that STEM type of education that a lot of students are looking for.
Yeah, that is really exciting. A whole new location for it and mm-hmm. something that's closer to the center of town. I'm kind of excited about that, too.
Absolutely. So we're excited about that. And then Uptown Lofts is another project we've been involved in. Mm. You know, we all know about the civil unrest that had happened a few years back. And in rebuilding that neighborhood, you know, it was identified by CABA and a lot of our partners, including the city and the county, that that area still have housing that is available to people in that neighborhood. And then also making sure that there's still a grocery store there, right? So yeah. there had been a grocery store in that area and had lost their facility, unfortunately. So we've been working with Gorman and Company, who's developing about 75 workforce housing units. So they'll be accessible to the community there. And then on the first floor of that, there will be retail space. So you'll see the Kenosha Children's Library, which is really mm-hmm. exciting. And then we are also helping with the financing for a grocery store and a restaurant. Both of which have been displaced as a result of the civil unrest. So the apartments and the commercial space should hopefully be open in the first quarter of 2024. So we're very excited about that.
And it is looking great mm-hmm. over there. That's pretty darn exciting. Now, you talked about the financial investment part, and I'm old enough to remember there had been two organizations that merged, and really it's the loan program mm-hmm. that was such a key part of CABA in the past. Would you say that that's still a major part of what CABA does?
Absolutely. Yes, that's definitely something important to point out. So CABA, I think, is unique in just the amount and then the diversity of different loan sources that we have. So we have, I think, over $30 million in our loan portfolio targeted toward different parts of the community and for different uses. So that's something that we see a lot of value in, you know, both to help support small businesses, for instance, in downtown Kenosha. That's one of our loan funds that we're able to use. And then to help with business attraction or business expansions here. In a lot of cases, you know, there may be businesses that are not fully bankable, so we can provide gap financing and help make a deal happen. But in other cases, you know, it's just something where there seems to be some community aspect to it where we want to support it, or it's just a larger business that is looking for some additional capital, and we're able to help fill that void, which has been great. And we've seen a lot of success with those programs. And then one piece of that I would also like to add is something that's very unique to CABA, and this is through a really special partnership we have with Kenosha County Government, is that we actually have a high impact fund, which I would call a deal closing fund. And that is very unique to a county economic development organization. It's very unique within the state of Wisconsin, but even across the country. And I came from the state of Texas, where I had been running economic development for Governor Abbott for a number of years. And one of the biggest tools in our tool belt there that I had been running was the Texas Enterprise Fund. That was our deal closing fund. We located multiple Fortune 500 headquarters in Texas as a result of that, helped with a lot of manufacturers to grow there. And the fact that I could come here to Kenosha County and have a tool like that that's in my back pocket to help businesses truly feel like we want you here, we can help close that gap with this high impact fund, I think is a game changer. So we've been able to use that to incent a number of companies maybe to relocate here from a different area outside of the state, or to have pretty significant expansions that they would have been looking at maybe in a different geographic area. And something really important to think about with that is that, you know, it is kind of a icing on the cake, I would say, and kind of helps close the deal, but it's never going to buy a project. Incentives never make a bad project good, right? Mm-hmm. So this is it's a small but strategic amount of money that we can use to help a business really feel like we're invested in them being successful here and help to alleviate some of the costs of making that investment. So very grateful to the county for that relationship and that support. And we have a number of projects in the pipeline right now that, you know, are active conversations that we're hoping we can close the deal with them using that tool.
And I liked what you said. It's not going to make a bad investment good. It's strengthening a good investment.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Okay. So the two things that I'd love to talk about would be how things have changed in terms of economic development over maybe the last 15 years, where the emphasis is now being put, and then, of course, talking about workforce issues and shortages and that fun stuff. Let's talk about economic development in terms of in Kenosha. I can remember, you know, there have been different times of just economic strife for everybody, but then it would come home to Kenosha. You know, we lost American Motors. Mm-hmm. That was one issue. There was 2008 and just the general badness of that
right.
year and trying to recover from that. And it seemed economic development people would be more in the mode of begging companies to come here or even think of us. And it just isn't that way anymore, really,
right.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
So how does that change what you do?
That's a great question. So, you know, I think this market is so interesting because of our strategic location. So being pretty much midway between Milwaukee and Chicago, two of the larger markets in the Midwest, I think is huge, right? And so we're very much on the map right now. Something that's been very interesting for me, having grown up in the Milwaukee area, I just always assumed that Kenosha and people in Kenosha County affiliated more with Milwaukee because I affiliated with Kenosha. Well, now that I'm living down here, you know, I'm hearing more and more that people affiliate a lot with Chicago here, which is very interesting. And I think businesses think that way too, and brokers think that way. So in a lot of cases, we're lumped in with that Chicago market, which is great for us, right? Because we're more affordable than the immediate Chicago area. I would argue we have a better workforce, you know, in this area with people developing that good work ethic at a young age. And we have great infrastructure here, access to Lake Michigan water. We have all these great assets that I think put us ahead of some of our competitors, maybe in the broader Chicago area. So it's very exciting to be here. It's exciting to see all the development that's happened here. And, you know, obviously we're looking to the future of what that's going to, what will be involved from that standpoint, what types of industries we're trying to locate here. But it's really an exciting time to be part of this market.
Well, and it is exciting. And one of the things I've heard somebody say, and I just thought, you know, it caused me to laugh. It's like, you know, we always have been between Milwaukee and Chicago. We have always been on Lake Michigan, and I-94 has been there a long time. Yet all of a sudden, you know, we've been identified as being a good place to be. And it's just kind of trying to figure out why the big change?
Right.
Was it Amazon saying that we were a good thing and then everybody else started turning their heads? You know, I don't know. What do you mm-hmm. hear from some of these companies who all of a sudden pop up and say they're interested in us?
I think some of it is marketing, right? Some of it is telling your story and getting the word out about what your value proposition is here. And I think that CABA's done a great job with that. And to me, you know, if you are a county market, right, you don't necessarily have the brand recognition outside of your immediate geographic area. So it doesn't make sense to be spending money on marketing campaigns in California to say, hey, you should move your company to Kenosha County, Wisconsin, because that's just not that relevant to them. But, you know, in this geographic area that we're in here, I think it is very relevant to be building those relationships, telling the stories, talking to brokers, talking to developers. And I think something CABA's done a great job of is courting these national developers to look mm-hmm. at this area. And we have over a dozen national developers that are working here in Kenosha County. And they're the ones who are out there really seeing the value of what's happening here. And then they've got prospects all over the country. And they can say, hey, look, we're building the spec building here. This location is going to be unbelievable for you. And they've got a lot of resources behind their marketing and those relationships. So I think that helps. Another piece of that I would say is, you know, as Chicago grows, as Milwaukee grows, they're kind of growing in this direction mm-hmm. and converging on Kenosha County. So that's a little bit of that. And I would say the Amazon effect is probably important. So I remember, you know, I was actually living in the Milwaukee area when that first big Amazon distribution center was built here. And that was a national story. I mean, because that was a 1 million-square-foot building at the time. That was unprecedented. And you would drive down I-94 and you would see that. Right. So any business owner or business leader who is driving that corridor, maybe going from Milwaukee to Chicago, they're like, there's a reason that Amazon picked this spot. So maybe I should start thinking about that, too. So, yeah, I think it's very interesting. I think there's a good story to tell here and that we can keep building on.
For sure. And what about types of businesses? The one thing I do hear is sort of a negative or just a concern is that there are so many warehouses and and warehouses are building larger warehouses. Mm-hmm. But we really should have more of a mix. We don't want to find ourselves where we were with American Motors mm-hmm. and being a one industry town. How is that being addressed?
That's a great question. So, you know, I would say that kind of warehousing sector and distribution sector has been very important to the economy here. And I think a lot of what put Kenosha County on the map, right? These companies are investing here largely thanks to the workforce we have and that strategic location. And I will say, you know, the warehouse and distribution functions here, they pay well, especially compared to other markets. So, you know, Uline, I give a lot of credit to. I mean, they have over 3,500 employees here in Kenosha County alone, over 10,000 square feet, building another 5,000 square feet. And they have been integral to driving the economic growth in this area and raising wages because they treat their employees well and they pay well. Amazon, similarly, you know, they have invested a lot in this community. That being said, you know, it's always important to diversify. So what are we doing to achieve that? So one, you know, we've had a couple of very significant investments here in the last few years that I think demonstrate that advanced manufacturing ability that we have. And those are really good jobs. You know, people have to be more highly skilled. The wages are higher. And then there's that ripple effect in the economy, right? Because they're buying raw materials and they're bringing goods in and shipping them out, exporting out of the state. So Haribo, obviously, you know, is a very visible, great win for this region. And, you know, it's been interesting to hear more about their decision to locate here. And that was largely due to the workforce and due to that strategic location. They also felt very welcome here, which I think is very important to know. It was the community leaders and the stakeholders and just the general people in the area that said, yes, of course we want you here. Whatever we can do to help you integrate into the community, we will. And they're paying that back in dividends, right? I mean, the partnerships here at Gateway, we were just talking about Haribo Hall over here. You know, they really care about the community. Another one that I think is really exciting is Nexus Pharmaceuticals. So they're a manufacturer of injectable drugs. And I think that they just started production in the last couple of months. That is huge. I mean, so you're looking at very highly skilled workforce there, people that are kind of coming from all across the country to be working in those jobs. And then the ripple effect of something like that and the ecosystem that's built out around something like that is remarkable. And that's a family-owned business that saw, again, they felt very welcomed in this area. They saw the great workforce capability here. And companies like that investing here for those reasons, I think are great stories for us to share to continue to attract that type of business.
I can see where that makes sense, that you have a couple of wins, you have people who have good stories to tell, they're very supportive, and then they share that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I do want to talk about workforce, and maybe the Inspire Conference can lead into that. Mm-hmm. You have a conference coming up that has been going on for a number of years also. It's coming up October 13th, you told me. Mm-hmm. So what is the Inspire Conference?
Well, we're really excited. This is actually the 10th year that we're holding our Inspire Conference. And while I personally have not attended it yet, I could not be more excited to go to my first Inspire Conference. From what I understand, this is a really dynamic environment that is truly inspirational for leaders. And we see everyone from high school students and college students, which is very cool, all the way up to executives and business decision makers that attend this event. And then people who are just looking to advance their careers and really do some professional development and soul searching. So typically what we do is we bring in at least one New York Times bestselling author, and that's usually the keynote speaker. We're very excited to have Multipliers is the book that's going to be highlighted this year. Liz Wiseman is the author. And then we have three other speakers as well, including Nick Pinchuk, the CEO of Snap-on. Obviously a great local story to share some of his philosophies. So we're really excited about that day. It's about a half day at Journey Church, and really would encourage anybody to attend that. I think that there's going to be relevant content for anyone that's there. We have a lot of good stories that we're going to be highlighting that are happening locally. So some great videos that you'll see about some local initiatives. But just one of those days that, you know, typically you'd see this in, as kind of like a national conference that you'd pay a ton of money to attend. You'd travel for it, but it's right here in your backyard for a very reasonable price. And I will say we're so excited to be talking about this here on the radio that WGTD listeners can receive $30 off the regular ticket price with the code WGTD 2023. And you can register at inspirekenosha.com.
Well, that's very kind of you. That's really exciting.
Absolutely. I think that your listenership, you know, would definitely be interested in the type of topics that we'll be talking about here. So would love to have them attend.
I've attended a few of those conferences in the past, and inspire is the right word for it. It really gets you like, I could be one of those people if I worked really hard.
Exactly, right? It's good to be aspirational.
Yeah, for sure. It really is. Workforce. I don't want to miss that. We have about 10 more minutes to talk today. And all you – it's so funny. You can drive down any major road in Kenosha County, and all you see, hiring, hiring, hiring. And some are offering bonuses, some are offering training, some are offering both. And, oh, my. So people, where are you getting them from?
That's a very good question. So we really try to have a good handle on where people are coming from that are working here in Kenosha County. And on the flip side, where Kenosha County residents are working. And I think we have a very unique opportunity here to maybe flip that around a little bit. So right now, about 45% of Kenosha County residents are leaving Kenosha County every day for work. They're going up north to the Milwaukee area. They're going south to the Chicago area. Maybe they're working in northern Illinois or in Oak Creek. But that's a workforce that, you know, ideally, we'd like to be working here in Kenosha County. So when we talk to employers, we help them understand, look, you know, we may have a labor shortage across the country. Everybody's dealing with that, right? But if you create good jobs and you're an employer of choice here, you have all these employees that you can be drawing on and not necessarily cannibalizing from existing employers here. You could be pulling people that are working out of the county, out of the region, out of the area. So we think that that's a really unique opportunity there.
How do you blast that myth? Or maybe it's not a myth. I was one of those before I started mm-hmm. back at Gateway 10 years ago. But I had worked in Illinois for about 15 years. Mm-hmm. And it was wages. It was the type of job and national experience with the organizations I was with. You need to duplicate that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what you're trying to do with attracting different businesses is create those opportunities.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to building a good corporate culture and making employees feel valued. So just in talking with employers, you know, over the last couple of years, obviously things, there have been a lot of wage pressures since the pandemic started, a lot of challenges when it comes to workforce. I was in Virginia, you know, for the first couple of years of the pandemic, then up in Waukesha County, and now down here. And really up until a couple of months ago, it was such an intense labor shortage that employers were really doing anything possible just to get people in the door. But you were still hearing from a lot of employers that people would leave after 6 to 12 months. So that's really that critical period to make people feel valued and feel like they're part of the organization. So I've talked to a lot of different businesses, manufacturers in particular, that have done a lot to help people feel welcome and to provide amenities. Typically, you hear about offices like Google and Facebook, you name it. You know, they've got the great cafeteria and the games and the ping pong and the beer socials and things like that. But manufacturers are starting to do a lot of that too. So one of the more unique ones I've heard about is in a manufacturer where it's a little bit more manual labor. You know, you might be bending over, you're doing some welding, things like that. They have an on-site chiropractor, on-site acupuncturist, on-site massage for their employees to make sure that they feel good at the end of the day and that any of the issues they might be facing, whether it's from work or not, that are tackled right away and then they just kind of feel good. You're seeing a lot more when it comes to celebrating holidays from different cultures, making sure that people feel valued in that way. And I think a lot of it too comes down to the people that work there currently, them making people feel welcome too. Because we went through this difficult period where people were in and out, you know, there for maybe 6 months and left. And it's like, well, why do I want to invest the time to train this person if they're not going to stick around? So kind of trying to help people understand the value of welcoming new people into an organization and then helping them want to stay.
That makes good sense because sometimes you feel kind of burned. So why should I bother being nice to this next person who comes in? But that's exactly the wrong thing to do. Mm-hmm. Again, the types of jobs that are available, you're talking about getting family supporting wages. So mm-hmm. that's been very critical and successful. But you need to move your family to Kenosha sometimes from someplace else, and housing. So mm-hmm. we're kind of full circle in our discussion today. So what do you do? What are people doing to try to support those families moving to Kenosha or mm-hmm. encourage them to do so?
I think that's such an important topic and something that has been part of every conversation I've had with every stakeholder I've met with since I started here. It was something I was working on in other markets I was in as well. The housing shortage is acute, and there is no long-term relief for that in sight. And so one of the main drivers of that is you go back to the 2008 recession and building a certain number of units every year, you know, that trajectory was going up. And then all of a sudden you have the recession that drops off to basically zero. And we have not even caught up to half of what the number of housing units being built was per year going back to before the recession, when we should be far past that at this point to be meeting the population growth needs. So really, there need to be multiple solutions for this. So we as CABA, you know, we're getting asked by a lot of our stakeholders to start taking the lead on some of these conversations and start looking at some meaningful initiatives to start tackling this housing crisis. And I will say that's something that we'll probably start getting more and more involved. And we have, you know, been part of those discussions before, but I think we'll take a leadership role from that standpoint. We do have some peer counties that I think are doing some really interesting things in this space. So Sheboygan County, their economic development organization, very visionary when it comes to housing. They took, I think it's 10 of their largest employers there, and they're all big family-owned companies like Sargento, Kohler, you know, and they each invested $1 million in a fund where this economic development organization is turning around and they're building workforce housing, smaller single-family homes. There's no direct ROI for these companies, but they know that the housing shortage is there and they need their workers to live closer to work so that they have the workforce. And so both from an altruism standpoint and a community development and perspective standpoint, but also saying, hey, we need our workers to live closer to work, they've invested in this fund. So I think that's really unique. Washington County similarly is doing not the same type of initiative, but they're investing in a couple of different housing related programs and helping support municipalities and offsetting some of the cost of infrastructure and the cost of land to then reduce the price of homes. So I think there's a lot of different ways that you can look at it. And I think it's going to be a matter of what works for this community. And I think CABA is going to be very involved in driving those conversations here.
And I would think there's so much potential in the older neighborhoods and rehabbing and getting some of those away from some of the landlords that perhaps aren't the best landlords around, and having some of these beautiful homes restored, that alone would be a wonderful thing. But I did read something recently where Uline has done something similar to that, where they're investing money into creating housing.
That's exactly right. They're partnering with the city of Kenosha on a pretty innovative program. I think they're working out the details, but Uline is committing $3 million, which is unbelievable.
Wow.
What a commitment. And then the city is matching that. And I think doing something similar to what you're talking about, where it does involve rehabbing homes as well. So that's great. It's looking at all different options of how to add more housing stock. And my colleague, Andy Bueller, who runs planning and development for Kenosha County, I think he always puts it really well in talking about housing for all, because this is a housing for all issue. We have people who, you know, maybe are retired and would want to live maybe in senior housing or a smaller home or a condo or an apartment, but they have a good mortgage and their home is paid off. So why would you want to move and all of a sudden be spending a lot of money? Or maybe they don't have what you want in the area you want to stay, and you want to stay in your community. Similarly, you have young professionals that can't even afford an apartment anymore because apartment rates have gone so high. So it's looking at that full spectrum of housing. It's not just about affordable or workforce housing or about senior housing. It's about housing for all, which I think is so important.
That's true. I have to say, when I've been isolated from seeing what the rentals, oh my gosh, that's insane.
They're saying the average now for an apartment in Kenosha County is $1,400 a month. And when you think about that and you think about wages, there's just such a mismatch there,
for sure.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And then I think that housing preferences are changing too, right? Certain, you know, younger generations maybe don't want a large house to take care of or would rather be spending their money not on a huge mortgage, but, you know, maybe just on rent and being able to travel more. So I think part of that should be part of the conversation as well, as that shift in generational preferences.
Well, and that does sound interesting. And do you have a specific committee looking at it, or are you just working with the folks who are assigned to housing in the community?
So there had been a housing task force that had been pulled together, I think, in the last couple of years. And that's something that we're looking at dusting off, getting that group back together, and really starting to have some strategic conversations around who should be at the table, who do we need to bring to the table that maybe isn't there, and then start talking about the future of those initiatives. And I do think that CABA will be the lead in a lot of those conversations and hopefully be able to implement some initiatives to help solving this problem.
We only have a minute left, so I'm going to spring this on you as what would be the most exciting thing that you plan to do in the next 2 months?
That's a great question. So I would say continuing to get to know this community. And like I said earlier, you know, being able to get out and meet with our businesses and see their facilities. There's so much cool stuff happening here. So I was out at Parado's Chocolate. I got to see the fact that they're manufacturing chocolate here. Best smelling manufacturing plant I've ever been in my life. It was amazing. But just, you know, businesses like that, having the opportunity to hear the stories too. In a lot of cases, these are family-owned businesses here. And where did they come from? Where did they get this idea? Is it multi-generational, kind of understanding that? So I would say continuing to get to know the business community here and the stakeholders is very exciting to me. And then, you know, every day when I come to work, I know who I'm here to support and here to help.
Well, we've been excited to get to know you better today. We've been talking with Nicole Riff, who is the Executive Director of Kenosha Area Business Alliance, and I'm Jane Herring for Community Matters.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
All this week on WGTD's Noon Tunes, we're enjoying the music of Kenosha's John Crawford Jazz Band.
And a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So why not join us for Noon Tunes Monday through Friday, 1220 p.m. here on WGTD HD.
To swear.